Good evening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM, HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Ilse von Heimberg, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, he's dropping out. The idea of YN, the idea of you and the rise of fanfiction media, and a tale of two Willies. Two former mascots reflect on their former jobs. Those stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. He's dropping out. Second-year student John Ferrara is dropping out of Northwestern to pursue his $4 million startup. Mariah Petway has more.
John Ferrara, a second-year journalism, economics, and data science student at Northwestern University, will no longer be with us next school year. Don't worry. He is very much alive and will be moving on to pursue his startup, which is projected to be worth $4 million.
So, currently the assumption is that I'll, be taking, I won't be coming back in the fall and for the foreseeable future, just because we have enough traction, like I said, with the hospitals that we're working with that are pretty sizable, that it's, that it mandates kind of my full attention. I right now I'm working full-time hours on top of school, and startups require more than full-time hours.
Ferrara, along with his partner and Northwestern student, Hassan Ibez, are working on a startup called Juxta, which is an app that would improve the process of transporting patients in hospitals.
Juxta is like a ride-hailing app for hospitals where nurses are able to put in requests for patient transfers from room to room. And PTs, patient transfers, can take these requests and basically accept them and transport the patients. So my role has been to build the service from top to down, basically.
That was Hassan Ibez, a first-year computer engineering and math student here at Northwestern, who has worked with John on a previous startup. Ibez now works on the coding aspect of Juxta. Ibez says that doctors, nurses, and administrators can connect the app to trackers placed on hospital beds, and the app will generate a heat map of the hospital that can be followed.
We also provide very nice analytics data, since we have all these years spatial data in regards to where patient transporters have been and where patients have been. So say there's an infected patient, we can provide like a heat map of the hospital where this infection might be a problem.
Primary care physician Vivek Kintaya, who formerly worked as an obstetrician for 23 years at Swedish American Hospital in Rockford, Illinois, says that poor communication in hospitals can be life-threatening for patients.
Even minutes can make a big difference. So if you get the lab results and you're having trouble tracking down the nurse or the patient, even minutes could lead to more morbidity and mortality based on not getting the blood transfusion done in time or not getting a medication to a person in time. Because some people are so sick that you need to get the antibiotic started right away or the blood transfusion started right away. Or yes, they could have something bad. It may not be completely as bad as dying, but it could lead to morbidity and complications that are unnecessary.
Ferrara says that he has been doing startups since he was just 14 years old. His inspiration for Juxta came from growing up with parents who have a healthcare background.
I come from a healthcare background. My mom is a pediatrician in the Navy. My dad is also a radiologist who served in the Navy, was the chief medical officer of the Navy. So, I've kind of grown up in hospitals. I know the clientele, which in our case is hospital admin, very well. My parents have both worked in admin to varying degrees. And yeah, it was a problem that I knew I was aware of because I honestly, they'd come home late frequently, largely attributing to the fact they were out, they were kind of waiting for a patient to be transported to them during an operation or a surgery or just seeing a patient in general. So, I was personally kind of affected by the slow patient transport, but it was more that I was able to just realize that, hey, this is affecting someone kind of at every level of the hospital.
Ferrara's partner, Ibez, joined Juxta because of the technical challenge, and he is also planning to leave Northwestern to pursue the startup full time.
Yeah, of course. I've met some great people here. I came here, obviously, I came here from Turkey, and really nice people, and I really like the Chicago area, but it is what it is. Sometimes you have to sacrifice, and that's a part of the deal.
Both Ibez and Ferrara are aware of the risks of not getting a degree, but Ferrara is rather hopeful that things will work out.
There's no, to me, like, I'm just kind of, I've always been someone where, you know, I really want to try to seize an opportunity when it's there and just kind of go with it and see how far it's taken, it'll take me. And in the past, that served me very well. And I think it's for a reason. I think when you take a risk like that, it usually, you know, whether it's because you're kind of acting a little bit more of necessity, it makes you move faster with more urgency and more precision. Or if it's just because, you know, the risk, you know, you get rewarded for taking risk. I just think it generally works out. But that might be naive. And if that is naive, you know, I have faith that I can, that I'll be able to come back to a school, whether it's Northwestern or, you know, a state school that I would go to instead. You know, I think that I can get that degree anytime. Whereas Juxta, you know, I have this opportunity with fundraising on the table right now. These hospitals are interested right now. So that's what I'm going to pursue.
Ferrara is not sure where he will be located this coming school year, but he will miss the relationships he has built here at Northwestern. Music by Mariah Petway. For WNUR News, I'm Mariah Petway.
The new movie, The Idea of You, is set up to be a silly summer rom-com. But what about the rumors that it's based on Harry Styles fanfiction? Mika Ellison has the story.
From Twilight to The After series to 50 Shades of Grey, there's no shortage of movies that are based on or rumored to be based on fanfiction. The latest is The Idea of You, starring Anne Hathaway as a middle-aged mother and Nicholas Galitzian as the suave, sexy, and 24-year-old Harry Styles double. The plot follows Hathaway as she takes her daughter to Coachella and meets Galitzian's character, Hayes Campbell. The movie follows their whirlwind summer romance across Europe on his band's world tour. A few days after the movie's release, the reviews are in from the Northwestern students that have already seen it.
Given the low expectations, I was pleasantly surprised.
That was Yanyan Lee, a Medill freshman who watched it with Weinberg freshman Abigail Jacob after she finished her homework. Most students watch the movie in groups or with others.
We love to watch movies together, and we especially love to watch movies that we know are going to be bad. It's like a bonding experience, and we complain about it to each other.
Weinberg Jr. Raquel Weinstein watched the movie over the weekend with RTVF Jr. Maria Katsagradakis. Students were also drawn in by marketing through TikToks, both official and fan-made.
I think I mostly saw like a few TikToks about it and like trailers, and I knew it was kind of corny but amazing because of the two leads.
I watched, like, I got TikToks. For the most part, it was just the TikToks that were like the official ones, so I got different trailers, different clips of the movie. I will say that because we watched it like 1 or 2 days after it came out, I did get a few little spoilers, like from edits and stuff.
Another thing they had in common?
Nicholas Galitzian. How do you, I don't know how to...
what's his name? Nicholas Galitzian.
Nicholas Galitzian. Gazultine.
And although it wasn't part of the official marketing for the movie, most students had also heard of the fanfiction rumor.
When I was watching the movie, my friends informed me it was based off of Harry Styles' fanfic, which makes a lot of sense looking back.
Although recent movies like Anyone But You have leaned on unconventional marketing tactics like rumored affairs, Robin Lee, the author of The Idea of You, and Galitzian himself have both stated that Harry Styles was at most a distant inspiration for their characters. The impulse to distance the movie from its fanfiction roots might be because fan-made content is often seen as simplistic or overly obsessive.
I personally have never read a Harry Styles fanfiction, so I don't really know, like, I don't really have a comparison point, but I can see where like the Harry Styles fanfiction is coming from, but then like based on stereotypes of fanfiction, I wouldn't expect like a fanfiction to be as nuanced as this movie. And this movie is not nuanced. It's just more nuanced than I think a fanfiction would be.
Despite their best efforts, the fanfiction moniker has followed the movie. Perhaps because the narrative strikes many as classic fan-inspired wish fulfillment, and contains the kind of social media-inspired moments that might be labeled cringe. In fanfiction, this is known as a YN moment, short for Your Name, a common way to refer to the main character of self-insert fanfiction.
I think it's kind of hilarious. And I could, like, definitely see, like, a 40-year-old mom, like, living out her fantasy throughout the movie. Not that it was, like, relatable, but I feel like it made it entertaining because it was like, oh, yeah, sure, like, everybody has these fantasies of, like, their celeb crushes and stuff, so it was kind of cool to see it played out on the screen.
However, some students ignored the one direction of it all and ended up loving the film as part of the rom-com renaissance.
As a book lover, I think it was a pretty good adaptation because it hit all of the fast points, the important points. And as just a hopeless romantic, I think it was freaking phenomenal and the ending was great. And even if it wasn't, like, I've already heard things about people being like, yeah, it was just for the Harry Styles fans and, oh, it's just a this, or, oh, it's kind of crappy, or, oh, like, whatever.
The film also has an ending that differs from the book, which multiple students found to be one of the most emotional and interesting scenes. In it, both leads display a level of self-awareness Lee and Katsagradakis characterize as far above the fan fiction level.
She's, like, taking accountability and realizing that there was something problematic in their relationship. Because I don't think rom-coms do that enough. I think a lot of other rom-coms, they sort of, like, romanticize the relationship and not don't really address what's wrong with it. Whereas in this story, they've addressed it directly.
To have it, that felt a lot more realistic and a lot more powerful of, we are older now than we were the first time we broke up. I understand that we gave it a solid try and it still wasn't enough because you're prioritizing your daughter, but I do still love you and this is still hard. And I think that was really powerful to wrap it all up in that one little, like, dimly lit blue, like, that was good.
Good movie or not, and fan fiction or not, most students are judging the idea of you not on the star it might be based on, but on how well it sets out to do what these movies do best.
Not to sound anti-intellectual. Like, I love education. I love talking about, like, different, like, ideas and concepts. But sometimes you do want to just turn your brain off. And I feel like that's, like, what a lot of criticism that brain rot movies receive. It's like, oh, like, this is bad and this is bad. Or, like, they're like, oh, this isn't, like, really well produced. I feel like they're, like, missing the point of brain rot movies. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, it's not meant to be any of those things. It's mm-hmm. just something to, like, unwind, to have a little bit of fun.
Even if it wasn't, like, the most high-quality film, fancy, whatever, it made me laugh, and it made me cry, and it was really cute.
For WNUR News, I'm Mika Ellison.
As the athletic year comes to a close, reporter Paul O'Connor sits down with two former Willie the Wildcats to reflect on their time occupying perhaps the most iconic public face of Northwestern University.
The academic year is coming to a close. With that, the athletic calendar will be on pause as Wildcats head back home for the summer. As the season is wrapping up, I sat down with a former member of the Spirit Squad who regularly performed as Willie the Wildcat during his freshman and sophomore year. He's chosen to remain anonymous, citing respect for the position's tradition of secrecy. He also made it clear that he wanted to reveal his identity on his own terms.
Okay, so my name is I'm a studying in the and my current passions are writing, music, production, and playing instruments, mixology, I guess.
So can you tell me about the first moment that you realized you wanted to become Willy the Wildcat?
Yeah, so I was a mascot in high school. My high school's mascot was Sharky the Shark, and I was a member of Student Gov, and part of that was me volunteering to just be in the suit sometimes. When I saw Willie at Purple Pride, I thought I might as well just go for it. And so I walked up to him and I asked him how I can get his job, and he handed me a note. I still have it. I think it's at home. That was inviting me to try out for the team.
Do you think that Willie has a specific identity that's distinct from, like, other mascots?
Over the course of my time working as Willie, I met the vast majority of, like, the most popular college mascots. I actually went to training camp with a lot of them in Wisconsin. And one thing that you notice immediately is that Willie is a much more, I would say, realistic or human proportioned character. He doesn't really have that big of a head compared to a lot of the other mascots who have massive heads. Willie has probably the least of a sort of sassy or angry or, you know, challenging side to his personality compared to the other mascots. But yeah, they really enforce this idea of Willy as a calm, nice, cute, and friendly character, which doesn't really show up among other mascots. You have to walk a certain way. You have to engage with people a certain way. He has a canonical backstory about why he can't talk. There's ways that you're supposed to turn away from people when you drink water so that you don't break the illusion.
Another former Willy the Wildcat, who's also chosen to remain anonymous, said that one of the best parts of the role was learning what it was like to work behind the scenes.
For basketball games, everything is scripted to the very second. They know exactly when the timeouts are. They know exactly what to do, exactly when to run on the court, run off the court, all the way from an hour before the game to an hour after the game.
Live performance is also a crucial element of the role, one that's both terrifying and thrilling.
The first time that you stepped out in front of a big crowd, what was that like, just like navigating that for the first time?
I felt like a rock star with a huge crowd just watching me and cheering me on as I'm waving a flag or banging a drum. I felt like everyone liked me, but I didn't get all the unnecessary fame as being like the face of the university.
It was stressful for maybe the first 5 minutes, and then you kind of just lock in. It's hard to explain, but this is a weird way to say it, but your individuality sort of fades away and you kind of just become Willy and just keep going. And it's like a sort of like a different state of mind. You just sort of melt into the character.
But some parts of the job weren't as ideal, leaving something to be desired in terms of administrative support.
When did you sort of reach your end with the role?
I mentioned briefly before about how my winter quarter in freshman year was really tough with the basketball season, and it was so tough. And I did notice my grades take a dip in that quarter, and that was not something that I really liked to see. I did see my job as Willy as one of my main priorities at the time. I knew that the basketball season would be really tough for me this year, and I did not want my grades to take a hit again, and I felt like I had experienced everything there was to experience, and I finally got my varsity jacket, and I was so excited for that.
Where did you find most of the support in the role? Like, was it from the larger cheerleading institution, or was it from, like, other Willies?
The people that play Willy and the cheerleaders are pretty much under the same umbrella. But we're always together and we always show up to games together and we have the same transportation and we get the same, somewhat the same clothes and we get the same amenities. And so as far as support goes, we all became really good friends. And then as far as the football team and the basketball team, there was not really much of a connection point between us. I don't think any of the basketball or football players would really know me despite me showing up to every game. I hope that in the future, Northwestern Athletics sort of gives a little more care to the spirit team, and that the Northwestern Athletics teams can maybe try and be more open and interactive with the spirit team.
But both were clear in what they felt they got out of the role: skill building and community.
If you're going to do Willy and get fully engaged in it, you have to make that your thing. And that's just not what I wanted in the end. But I'd probably tell people it's a great experience. You learn so much about what it's like, even just not just basketball games or football games, just being part of a big team, a big operation, providing a service to a large group of people, entertainment. I really benefited from understanding how everything is run behind the scenes and how to make sure that if there's a hiccup, how to move past that.
You kind of talked about like this like communal like identity that like you would step into. Like, do you still feel that ever? And is it something that you can still connect with?
One thing that's been interesting since not being Willy is the empathy that I feel now just being a spectator at games. And seeing Willy in suit, it's interesting because the magic is still there for me, even though I know that I probably know the person in suit. But I still... The character of Willy is so powerful that it even transcends me knowing literally everything about what goes into being Willy. Something I would say to people is to try and look more closely at what people are doing. It's really easy to miss, but people are doing all sorts of things on the field during halftime or between timeouts. So just pay more attention and, you know, see what's going on.
For WNUR News, I'm Paul O'Connor.
This week of sports saw titles, cinching games, and playoff tennis in full swing. Gabe Shumway has what you're looking for.
Hello, I'm Gabe Shumway here with your NU Sports Report on everything from this past week. The women's lacrosse playoff tournament bracket was revealed this week with Northwestern standing atop as the number one team. This came on the back of their Big Ten tournament victory with nail-biting wins against Johns Hopkins by a score of 13-12 and Penn State by a score of 14-12. The Cats' first matchup of the tournament will be against the winner between Stanford and Denver, the latter of which was a Final Four team just a year ago. This weekend was full of celebration for Kate Drohan's Cats as they clinched the Big Ten regular season title. Though they broke their home winning streak, which extended for over 2 years, the Cats still took 2 out of 3 from the Indiana Hoosiers. And with Michigan losing 2 out of 3 at home, Northwestern only needed one win, sealing their title. While this is usually the spot where I highlight another Ashley Miller complete game shutout, she struggled with 18 walks on the weekend in 10 innings of work. Rather, it was first-year Renee Cunningham who delivered many solid innings for the Cats, with 6 innings of 2-run ball in Game 1, 2 2/3 more innings in Game 2, and a series-saving final out in the Cats' last game before the Big Ten tournament. They'll be in Iowa City Thursday for their next matchup at 11 a.m. The other diamond sport, baseball, witnessed another series sweep this weekend, this time at the hands of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Going in on the road, the Cats were the underdog, but made for some close games nonetheless. They lost a narrow 4-3 contest in Game 1, and after a blowout loss in Game 2, brought Game 3 into 13 innings before eventually falling 6-5 on a Kellen Strohmeyer single. Graduate student outfielder Griffin Arnone had a nice series, going 4-for-13 with a pair of doubles and a pair of RBIs. Baseball also has midweek matchups going on. They netted a 7-9 home victory against Eastern Illinois Tuesday, where Preston Knott had a 3-hit game complete with an RBI and a base on balls. Finally, the Cats have a game that began at 3:30 today against Milwaukee. Big Ten play will resume this weekend for baseball as they travel to Columbus to take on the Buckeyes. Men's tennis began the NIT tournament and promptly ended it with a first-round loss to Santa Clara. The Cats fell 4-2. The women's tennis team made the NCAA tournament and was slated with a first-round matchup against Arizona State. It was not the Cats' turn for a deep tournament run this time, however, as they wound up losing 3-4 despite an initial 3-0 lead. This brings both teams' seasons to an end. That wraps up your NU Sports Report for this week. For more information about upcoming games, as well as how you can watch the Wildcats live, visit www.nusports.com. I'm Gabe Shumway for WNUR News.
Now for a brief look at the forecast. Tomorrow, expect some rain and a drop in temperatures. The high will be 55 degrees and the low will be 49. Moving into the weekend, Friday will be partly cloudy with a high of 62 and a low of 46. Saturday looks like clear skies with a high of 63 and a low of 50. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, Tuesday night, architects unveiled renderings for the new Fifth Ward School in Evanston. The school will be on the site of Foster Field. Construction is expected to begin mid-July. Focus now is turned to picking a school name and mascot. President Joe Biden visited Chicago today to attend a fundraiser. Earlier today, he stopped in Wisconsin to garner support in that swing state. The president's motorcade typically requires trains on the Metra Electric line to pause operations, which could cause delays this evening. Police arrested 33 students at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. today. The students were part of a pro-Palestinian encampment. The arrests were made just as a hearing was canceled for D.C. city officials' handling of college protests. And the U.S. has halted a shipment of 2,000-pound bombs to Israel. The decision comes amid Israel's plan to attack Rafah to root out the final elements of Hamas. The city houses an estimated 1 million refugees. Israel has relied on U.S. arms. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ella Smith, and our reporters are Mariah Petway, Mika Ellison, Paul O'Connor, and Gabe Shumway. I'm Ilse von Heinberg. Catch our next newscast on Friday, May 10th. Now, back to scheduled programming.